Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. My guest, George Karl, is one of the winningest coaches in NBA history, one of just nine with 1,000 victories. Before his successful runs with the Seattle Supersonics, Milwaukee Bucks, and Denver Nuggets, to name a few, Karl spent two seasons helming the Albany Patroons in 1988-89 and 90-91.
And I remember him saying to me, he says, "You know, George, what you're good at is winning games." And that always stuck in my head. And so probably in that next couple of days, I said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go win games.
As demonstrated in a new documentary premiering this weekend, the Patroons of that era were a major CBA draw at the Washington Avenue Armory, serving as a springboard for many successful NBA players and coaches. The minor league mecca premieres at the Palace on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Karl is returning to Albany as a special guest, and we'll hold a Q&A after the screening. George Karl, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be fun to be back with some friends and talk some history of basketball.
So how did you first come to Albany?
I was fired by Golden State, and I was hanging out actually in a beach house in California with one of my good friends, Kobe Dietrich. And we were just, you know, surfing and hanging out in the ocean and contemplating what was going to happen. And I got a call from Jim Cohn and I think Gary Holly. They were a GM and owner at the time, and they presented an offer to coach the Patroons. And I thought about it for about two or three days, and I decided, you know, coaching's in my blood. Coaching is what I want to do. And rather than mope and hope for an MBA job or get picked up as an assistant, I'm always like pulling the triggers and dealing the cards more than I like being an assistant coach. And I said, let's go. You know, I talked to my family, I had two young kids at the time, and, you know, they weren't against it. We had fun, and we went to Albany and had a ball.
What were your first impressions of the city, the Armory, and then, you know, the franchise, the Patroons, once you got here?
I thought the first impression was how they were committed to being a championship team. And the CBA, I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, thoughts of just being a good team. But they, you know, with the history of Phil Jackson being there and Musselman being there, and, you know, teams, you know, they expected the best, and they expected a winning team and a team that competed. The city itself was very friendly to me, and I thought it was the first government city I ever lived in. And you know, I was impressed with their basketball knowledge. I was impressed by their passion for the game. And the Armory was a very unique place to watch a game, and they were very intense fans and were very supportive of the team.
We have a bit of a chip on our shoulder here in Albany, and since you raised it, how did Albany as a capital city compare to coaching in Sacramento in the NBA?
Oh, you know, California is California, so there's always going to, I'm not a big California guy, and I'm actually not a big East Coast guy either, but I probably would have preferred Albany. There's more real to Albany. There's more, you know, history and in a state that is kind of the metropolitan capital of the world from the standpoint of, you know, it's where the world kind of starts from, is New York City, and the state of New York is a big part of that.
So I want to ask you a little bit about coaching. You were a young man when you became first an assistant in the NBA and then a head coach and then a head coach with the Patroons. How did you learn how to be a head coach?
Oh, I don't know if I ever learned it. I think it's a process of evolving. Even today, I think head coaches got to stay on their toes because the league is changing, the game is changing. You know, the game in the 90s is a different game than it is today. The three-point line has gotten to be incredibly important. Coaches have learned how to use it better. You know, we were much more of an execution team back then, and we weren't a slowdown team. We like to play fast, but we ran a lot of plays. And today's game is more of ball penetration, playing with pace, finding the open man with good spacing. And there's less control from the bench from a standpoint of play calling. But, you know, I think the game has a way of evolving and changing, and coaches got to be ready for it. And I think the CBA was a great teacher of that to me, because the team you started with in October could change drastically. You could lose a player to an injury. You could lose a player to the NBA. You could lose a player to Europe. Or you could just kick a player off the team for a bad attitude. And so your roster is always changing. I think you got to have a philosophy to be ready for that. And I think you also got to be adaptable as a coach to be successful to do it.
In the film, Coach Musselman and Coach Jackson, who were fellow Patroons coaches, had different perspectives on how the CBA should serve as a league, where in the movie, Jackson talks about wanting to give everyone a chance to be noticed and maybe make it back up to the NBA, and Musselman wanted to win, no matter what. You presided over a team that went 50-6, so what was your philosophy of how to run the team in the CBA?
You know, I was in the CBA for 3 years in Great Falls, and I thought I had the best team in the CBA two of those years, and of course got beat because my players got taken by the NBA or went to Europe. And the year we were 50-6, and I think we started out 16-0 or something like that. And you know, we were kind of saying to ourselves, you know, we just got to be quiet. We don't want to make any phone calls or talk to the NBA and you know, I kind of was soft-shoeing selling my players. But then when we were so dominant, I just got to the point, I said, Joe, we got to call our friends in the NBA and tell them about Mario Elie, and we got to tell them about, you know, Vincent Askew, and we got to tell them about Quentin Smith, and we got to tell them about these guys that are really, really good players. And so I think we lost Mario first, then we lost Vince, and we lost a lot of guys to Europe that year. Terry Stotts started out as my assistant coach and ended being in the starting five for the team. So we obviously were scrambling at the end of the year trying to figure out how to win.
You were last a head coach with the Kings a couple of years ago. Do you want to coach in the NBA again?
I would consider it. I mean, again, I want to be involved in the NBA, and if the right team called in the right situation and I could feel a commitment from them and I could feel I could give them my best effort, I'd be very, very interested in doing it again. You know, I've had offers in Europe, but I have a 14-year-old daughter that I've decided to kind of spend most time with right now. But I'm open to coaching again, but I also know that the pendulum of the game is kind of swung back to the younger coaches. And, you know, you never know them. You never know. I'm definitely have interest in staying in the game in some capacity. And I still think I have the energy and the ability to coach as a head coach.
What do you think? You coached a lot in the Western Conference in your career. What do you think of the big offseason move that now sees LeBron James playing on the Lakers this coming up season?
Oh, I think he's going to be surprised how difficult the West is. But I think change is usually good for basketball, especially now with 4 years of basically Golden State being the best team and everybody else chasing Golden State. And that, I don't know, if that continues for 2 or 3 years, I don't think it would be good for the game of basketball. But in the same sense, there's some great basketball, and the game of basketball is very healthy right now. I think a lot of it's because of some of the great veterans of LeBron and some of the older guys, but I think we got some great young players coming onto the scene that everybody's interested in to see if they can get to the top of the mountain.
Let me ask you one more question for local fans here who are very much into the Knicks. How can that franchise, which you obviously have a long history with, turn itself around?
I like their coach. I like the choice of good energy, good young guy, tough-minded guy, Miami Heat background, championship pedigree. I think David has been a very good assistant coach, and I think he's earned his right to have a challenge like this. I think they got to get a little bit lucky, and I know people don't want to hear that, but sometimes it's a little bit of luck of finding a player or getting a player that wants to come to New York. And it's kind of like, New York right now has been in the middle of hell for a long time. And the karma is bad. And so I think the young, you know, the Porzingis kid is legit. I think he's going to be a 10-year all-star type of player. But they need some more help, and hopefully they'll get it, as I think some of it will come with Fizdale maybe finding and making a younger player better than he was. But the one thing people got to remember, the worst team in the NBA is not that far from the best team in the NBA. So if you do get it rolling in the right direction, you get some good chemistry going, some energy and some positive energy flowing, you can move from a very average or bad team to a playoff team. And I think it'd be good for the NBA if we got the Knicks back into the playoffs.
Oh, especially in the East. Lastly, how's your health these days, Coach?
I'm great. You know, my voice is always going to be a little raspy and sore when I talk a lot because of my cancer, my head and neck cancer. But I'm probably as healthy as I've been in a long time. I play golf quite often. I'm into yoga a little bit. I have a workout guy. So when I'm hanging out in Denver, I'm in great shape. My biggest decision of the day is, do I work out or do I take my dogs for a walk? So I'm feeling great.
George Karl will return to Albany for the premiere of the Minor League Mecca at the Palace on Saturday at 7:30. The former Patroons coach will be the special guest and will hold a Q&A after the screening. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time, and we're looking forward to having you back in town.
Okay, good talking to you, man. I'll see you in a couple days. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.